Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Just wrapping up the season of Advent, entering into the celebration of Christmas. Hope you're ready to go, ready to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and to live with that heightened anticipation of the return of the Lord. We live and exist as the people of God on mission between the two comings of Jesus. He came the first time as a lamb to lay down his life. As the catechism and the scriptures will teach us here, as we look at the incarnation, Jesus came to take away sin. That's the first thing he came to do, and to bring salvation to a race of people that stand in desperate need of that salvation. And the church's mission between the two comings of Christ is to go forward under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, given to us by Jesus in our baptism, given to us by God the Father, to send us into the world with hearts filled with compassion and mercy, but great conviction about how much the world needs the salvation that's offered in Jesus. Today's reading, the Gospel, chapter 1 of Luke, verses 57 through 66, is the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah and elements of the birth of John the Baptist, who's the forerunner of our Lord. He's the friend of the bridegroom who goes out and he'll prepare the way of the Lord, fulfilling the prophetic anticipation of the people of Israel, the role of an Elijah-type figure who will rise before the coming of the Messiah for salvation. Let's just read this passage and think a little bit about what's revealed about Elizabeth, about Zechariah, the character of John, and also how God relates to his people. Here's the reading. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There's no one among your relatives who has this name." It was the custom, of course, to name the child, the son, the firstborn son, after the father or someone else in the family. So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name," and all were amazed. Immediately, his mouth was opened, that is, Zechariah, his tongue freed, and he spoke blessing to God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." So a little background to the reading begins earlier in chapter 1, verse 5 and following, the story of Gabriel coming to Zechariah. But listen to the description of the character and the kind of person Zechariah and Elizabeth were. It said, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly." Imagine the kind of character they had. Let me read it again. What were they like? They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. So a very high character, high dedication to the Lord. But it goes on to say, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, it fell to him by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. So common when human beings, when an angel appears, especially someone like Gabriel, one who stands in the presence of God, the natural reaction, spiritual reaction, is to stand in fear and awe of the majesty of that great creature. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he shall drink no wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things come to pass, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Is it amazing? Go back to the kind of character and person, the description of Zechariah. He was righteous before God, walked in all the commandments and ordinances blamelessly. But the Lord came to him in an angel, as he had done in other people in the Old Testament. Right? This is a little bit like the story of Abraham and Sarah. The angel comes to him, but in this case, he doubts. And God disciplines him. It's a loving discipline. When God disciplines someone like Zechariah, it's not like a harsh judgment on him. It's a discipline. God, the Father, disciplines those whom he loves. Zechariah doubted. He was filled with fear. He didn't think it was possible. Remember what it says in Romans chapter 4 about Abraham, how Abraham is our father in faith, the church teaches us. And we understand the unique role he has in the history of salvation. In Romans chapter 4, it said that basically God was pleased with Abraham because he believed that God would be able to even raise someone from the dead if need be, that God was simply able. He trusted not in his own understanding. God often, especially when he does significant things like this, he'll confound the mind to reveal the state of the heart. What God is most interested in is that we've given our hearts to him, that from the core of our being, the very core of our understanding and our trust and our love and our decision-making, that we relate to God with tremendous awe, trust, surrender, abandonment, understanding who he is, his greatness, both his love, his mercy, his power, but that God is able to do whatever he intends to do, whatever he says he's going to do. And it's a good meditation to actually think about the lesson that the Lord is teaching Zechariah here, the doubt that he had. The Lord wants us not to doubt his words, not to doubt his promises, not to doubt that not only is he able, he has all power to accomplish everything that he said, but that he's all good, that he's all loving, and to be able to trust him, especially when his plans exceed our boundaries, the boundaries of our own mind, what we think is reasonable or we think is logical. God's ways are not our ways, and often the Lord needs to humble us profoundly before he can trust us, because in this case, we rely on our own understanding, and to rely on our own understanding, as far as our understanding will take us, puts us in a very limited relationship to God and to trusting him and being able to serve him the way he desires and deserves to be served. So let's go on in verse 21. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they wondered at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. They perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he made signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she hid herself, saying, "Thus the Lord has done to me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." It was considered in some way certainly abnormal. Some people may have considered it even like a curse, but it certainly was a burden on a woman in those days to not be able to bear a child. It was a heavy burden for her to bear. And it was a time of great rejoicing for Elizabeth and for the whole family. And so going back to today's reading, again, when the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. So the naming of John here. And so when Zechariah obeys what and confirms what Elizabeth had said, but obeyed Gabriel, and he spoke the name, the miracle happened, and he was given back his speech. And I want to read just the end of it again. It said, he asked for a tablet and wrote, John is his name, and all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was open, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God, thanking God. You know, he was rejoicing. Can you imagine that moment? And he says, then it says, the fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. This is the fear of the Lord that's spoken about. And it's a term, it's an understanding, it's present throughout this whole build-up in the readings of the church, the build-up to the celebration of Christmas, and the awe that's around the whole experience of God's intervention and human beings getting a glimpse, a taste of the majesty and the greatness, the power and the goodness of God. It should fill us with great love and great devotion and freedom and joy for rejoicing, but it should also fill us with a holy fear, the holy fear of the mighty God. Even in the case of someone like Zechariah, who was a righteous man, and he walked blamelessly in the commandments before God, his lack of trust, his lack of willingness to receive, just simply receive God's word and God's command and God's initiative, that his doubting somehow reveals something about all of us and the temptation in the human heart when God's commandments exceed what seems acceptable. For example, in our day today, there's lots of commandments of God. There's lots of ways of, well, just simply the reality of God and the reality of God's plan and purpose, how it's rejected today. Because so many human beings in pride and hubris, even Christians, people who are baptized Catholics, who no longer believe dimensions of God's revelation and plan or the seriousness of his commandments because human pride just says, sorry, it's not acceptable anymore. You know, somehow God is not loving. Somehow God's ways are not good. It's an important reflection for us to make as we're about to celebrate the incarnation, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which changed everything. We'll talk tomorrow about the readings the church gives us, where the catechism really begins as well, to say that the first thing the incarnation is about is God's coming in the person of Jesus to take away sin, the reality of sin and how sin separates us from God and its seriousness. So let's just pray for a moment as we wrap up the program today. Lord, we want to receive, and we do receive today, your plan of salvation. We stand in awe and in great wonder and joy at the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, at the incarnation. Lord, we ask that we could receive as Mary did when the angel came to her, any word that you give to us, any way that you lead us, we receive in this season all of your commands, all of your ways, all of your plans. And in particular, we receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord of all. Come, Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.